I'm Carol Hills in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, net neutrality. You hear those two words a lot these days. President Obama is for it. Internet service providers seem to be mostly against it. And everyone's got an opinion about it, even comedian John Oliver.
Net neutrality is actually hugely important. Essentially, it means that all data has to be treated equally, no matter who creates it. It's why the internet is a weirdly level playing field. And startups can supplant established brands. That's how Facebook supplanted MySpace, which supplanted Friendster, which supplanted actually having any friends. Do you remember physically having friends? It was awful. You couldn't tap people's faces to make them go away.
Seriously, though, just how does net neutrality level that playing field? And frankly, what is net neutrality? Jonathan Zittrain can help us answer those questions. He heads the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. Jonathan, first my question, how would you define net neutrality?
Well, I define it against the backdrop of a remarkable thing about the internet itself, which is, unlike many other ways, even more plausible than the internet, to build a global network that connects everybody up to send stuff to one another, the internet is a kind of collective hallucination. It is only a set of protocols that say, if somebody joining this network, connecting however it can, speaks those protocols, it's a full-fledged member of the network. And that's one reason why the internet has no main menu. It has no CEO. It has no business plan. It simply is. So net neutrality is a way of trying to lock in a bit or provide some boundaries around those initial conditions that had the internet become the behemoth that it is right now. It's essentially trying to say to certain internet service providers, don't start playing favorites. Don't say there are certain websites we're not going to let you get to, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else. Oh, you can't go somewhere else for broadband because we're your only broadband provider. And we won't let you say that we're going to have some bits go faster than others. That's the basic idea behind a net neutrality rule.
Do we have net neutrality now in the United States?
You know, we have de facto net neutrality. For the most part, when you do have a broadband provider, it's basically still using those best efforts to get your packets to where they're going. A lot of the net neutrality worries are front-loaded towards worries that have not come to pass yet, in which internet service providers might choose to get creative with their business plans and start saying, oh, if you want a video conference, use our solution. You'll find that Google Hangout or FaceTime or whatever it might be doesn't work so well on our network. Net neutrality is trying to take stuff off the table before it really gets there.
But I thought there were already cases where companies, providers like Netflix, were having tussles with their ISPs or internet service providers about the speed with which their material was being delivered. And then customers were turning around and blaming, say, Netflix, but it was actually the ISP that was to blame. I mean, hasn't there been an example maybe with Verizon and Netflix?
Yes, this is an example of the original design of the internet really starting to show its seams. And there are some people who reported, for example, that if they just went on their regular Verizon high-speed connection, they'd get pretty choppy Netflix. And if they created a fake connection, an overlay connection to another server, which if anything should introduce another hop, suddenly things got faster. That led them to infer that maybe somebody like Verizon was messing with things in the middle. And one of the basic tenets of a net neutrality kind of rule is transparency, that at least you ought to know what rule set, if any, the internet service provider you're paying for is using to figure out how to get those packets to you.
So how does this work in places like Europe or Asia? Do they have net neutrality and is it codified?
Europe and Asia typically are puzzled at the American obsession with net neutrality because in many instances they have a phenomenon called open access, where perhaps something like British Telecom had originated as a state-owned telephone monopoly company, ends up becoming a broadband provider. And as part of that, it offers its bit carriage wholesale to Virgin Broadband, to other ISPs. So to a customer, it looks like you got a choice of 10, even though it might be one wire coming into your house. And that form of open access can mean that it's harder for the ISPs to act in ways that if someone, like the customer, doesn't like it, too bad, you can't switch because they can switch.
What about speed and cost of the internet in places like Seoul or Tokyo compared to the U.S.?
It's true that the U.S. is fair to middling as far as speeds go. And in fact, there's even been a debate over what counts as broadband. Is what counted as fast in the year 2000 or 2002 still count as fast today. There has been some pushback by ISPs not wanting to define fast up so that we can still say we've got lots of broadband. But if you really look at the speeds available to the typical citizen, we're not doing so great. And I think the answer to that from those who oppose net neutrality is, well, extra regulation will even make it worse because it will deter investment. The only puzzling thing is we've seen less and less private investment in actually building out new networks. Verizon Fios, for example, you're lucky if you have it. If you don't but are a Verizon customer, don't expect to get it anytime soon.
Jonathan Zittrain heads the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.